We're going to look at Thomas this morning, often regarded as doubting Thomas. But was he actually a doubting Thomas? Well, shall we have a look and see? We don't actually know a lot about Thomas, yet we know he was a disciple, and he's actually mentioned 11 times in the New Testament. Four of these are just name listings where there's a list of disciples just listed. And then another four of them are in passages which give him an active speaking role or narrative role. And all these being in the Gospel of John. So let's look at some of those narrative roles and see what we can learn from this narrative. And I'd like to start off by looking at four L's to look at Thomas. The first mention of Thomas is in Matthew 10:3, where he's in the list of the disciples, and he's actually one of the 12. And I would like to say this morning that he was a learned disciple. Now you might say, hold on, Paul, he'd just been called by Jesus, so how come he was a learned disciple? We need to get back and understand what the Jewish culture was of the time. And Jewish boys, they would have been grown up and they would have been sent to the synagogue. Now, don't forget, there wouldn't have been no books at that time. It would have been oral learning, and they would have actually had to learn the Torah off by heart. So they would have understood the Psalms. They would have understood the prophets. And I could say that Thomas was looking forward to the Messiah. He was expecting the Messiah to come. And when he saw Jesus, he thought, this must be the man. So this morning, I would like to say that Thomas was actually a learned disciple. But so many of us could be put ourselves in that position. Yes, we might have come to Sunday school all our lives. We might have read about Jesus. And we have a wonderful knowledge of Jesus. But for Thomas, he had to go and it had to move on. Secondly, I'd like to say that Thomas was a loyal disciple, our second L. If we read John 11, chapter 16, we read that Thomas was ready to die with Christ. Such was his eagerness to serve. Such was his eagerness to follow. He wanted to give up his own life to go and be with Jesus. We read in John 10 that Jesus was in Jerusalem and the Jewish leaders had actually tried to kill him. We read about that in John 10, 31. Then John 10, 39, we read again that the Jewish leaders tried to arrest him. And then Jesus was going back to raise Lazarus from the dead, where a few days earlier they were trying to kill him. So Thomas said, come, let us go and die with Jesus. A tremendous loyalty. And yet so often in Christian life today we read that men and women die because of their belief in Jesus. We see the tremendous atrocities, horrible atrocities in Nigeria when 72,000 Christians, because they believe in Jesus, have lost their lives. And sometimes we need to ask ourselves, if that was to come to this country, would we be ready to go and die with Jesus? Third L is Thomas was a lost disciple. What do you mean? Thomas was a lost disciple. We've just read John 20, 19 to 24. Now Jesus had been crucified, he died that horrible death on the cross, and then he'd rose from the dead. And the disciples were meeting together, and Jesus appeared amongst them. But Thomas wasn't there. It clearly states that Thomas wasn't there. And then they got together and they met with Thomas later on. And Thomas says, oh, I'm sorry, very sorry, very sorry. I'm not going to believe that. You expect me to believe that nonsense that Jesus came into the room and just stood there? And Thomas was a lost disciple. He didn't believe. He was a lost disciple. Sometimes that's like us, isn't it? We're lost, aren't we? We have to ask ourselves, do we believe in the living God? Do we believe in Jesus? Do we believe he died for us? Do you believe he rose for us? Do you believe he sent the Holy Spirit for each one of us? Sometimes we're lost, aren't we? And we need to call out to God. We need to expect Jesus to come and fill our lives. The other time is Jesus, Thomas was a lacking disciple. You know, in this one discourse in John 14, they were talking there, the disciples and Jesus was saying that, I'm going to heaven, I'm going away, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and you know where you're going, where I'm going. And Thomas, in his lacking of knowledge, said, I don't know where you're going, Lord. Where are you going? And Jesus replied, that wonderful, oh, I am. I am the way. Follow me. I am the truth. I am the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Then we get to that point, don't we, 8 days later, when Thomas was with the disciples again, and suddenly Jesus appeared. Wow. What do you think Jesus would have said to Thomas? Do you think Thomas would have been worried? I've disbelieved Jesus, and now he's here in front of me. Do you think Jesus would have condemned him? Do you think if Jesus would have told him off? No. Jesus showed Thomas that he knew the demands that Thomas had made. To start off with, there's 5 responses that Thomas had made, and Jesus answered each one of them. The first one was, put your finger here, that is to touch my nail-pierced hands. You know, he asked Thomas to act. So often, Jesus asks us to act. He says to be with him, to experience the pain, to experience the hurt. The second one is Jesus said to Thomas, he said, see my hands. This followed on from the previous command. And it was almost a command to Thomas to see, to observe that Jesus was a real person, that Jesus had risen from the dead. So often we need to open our spiritual eyes so we can actually see the Lord moving. And how often do we watch around and we see, oh, that's a load of nonsense. And we need our spiritual eyes open to see God working in people's lives. God's working in this situation. God working in that situation. The third section that Jesus said to Thomas, he says, put out your hand. Yes, Jesus called Thomas to reach out. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? How often do we reach out to Jesus? And yet Jesus calls each one of us to reach out to him. Yes, we can sit in our chairs, we can sit in the armchair, we can watch telly, but sometimes we need to reach out to Jesus. Sometimes we can be lost like Thomas. We can be lost in this world and we don't know which way to turn and we need to just reach out to Jesus. This morning, I don't know what your situation is. Maybe you're a little bit lost. Maybe you don't believe and this morning you need to reach out to Jesus just like Thomas did. The fourth one, Jesus said to Thomas, place your hand in my side. Which means that Thomas is to touch the wound in Jesus' side. But what does that mean? It means we are to experience. We are to experience the hurt Jesus. We are to experience the crucified Jesus. Do we experience the crucified Jesus? Do we accept his sacrifice on that cross for you and me? You know, Jesus died a horrific death. And so often we glibly gloss over it. And we forget the pain, we forget the torment, we forget the horribleness of the cross. And yet Jesus went through it for you and me. And sometimes we need to get down on our knees and we need to experience that pain that Jesus suffered for us. You know, we're sinners. We caused God and caused Jesus a lot of hurt. and we need to repent. We need to say, sorry, Lord, I want to reach out to you. I want to experience you. And then, a wonderful statement by Jesus. He says, do not be faithless, but believe. Sometimes we need to just take that step of faith. Take that step of faith. Move out into new avenues and believe in Jesus. Oh, one of the things that really grieves me is that when people dismiss this word of God, they say, well, that little bit doesn't matter. Oh, but how about this little bit? That can't really matter. And so they rip it out and say, oh, but how about this bit? How about this bit? But Jesus says, believe. Jesus says, believe in me. Believe in the word of God. You know, Jesus appeared to Thomas in a group context. Then you get this climactic confession. What a wonderful confession this was, this climactic confession that Thomas says, my Lord and my God. It's seeing Jesus with his own eyes. And now he proclaimed that Jesus was his Lord and his God. How often do we do that? How often do we proclaim to God that he is my God, he is my Lord, and I love him? And then Jesus' instruction is to believe. And he says, blessed are those who've believed without seeing. And Jesus calls on Thomas to believe the reality of the resurrection. You know, my Lord is a title to describe divine honor. In the Old Testament, we see that God is described as my Lord. If we look at Exodus chapter 6 in verses 2, 3, 6 and 7, he says, I am the Lord. And then in Isaiah 42, verse 8, he says, I am the Lord. God is Lord, and he expects divine honor. He expects worship. He expects praise. He's a holy God. He's a wonderful God. And Jesus is Lord is to be expressed by you and me. In a way, it was to be expressed by the new converts at the early Christian church. Romans 10 verse 9 says, for if you confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. And how often do we remain silent? How often do we not say anything and we do not say that Jesus is my Lord? We'd be in a conversation they'd be saying blasphemous things about Jesus and we remain quiet. And yet Jesus is our Lord. Jesus' divine honor demands honor. Jesus demands glory. Jesus demands witness to say that he is my Lord. Don't use that like that. He is special to me. He is my Savior and he is my Lord. Do you do that? Romans 1 Corinthians 12, 3 says, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. If you can say that Jesus is Lord in your life, you know they have the Holy Spirit in your life. It's an interesting thing. The time that John's gospel was wrote was between AD 60 and AD 90. And in the Roman Empire, the Emperor Domitian was on the throne. And he made a law to say that he must be described as Lord. And yet Jesus said, there's only one Lord, and that's me. Lord, my God. You'd be glad to know I'm coming to the end. But in conclusion, I'd like to think about five T's that sum this whole story up. Firstly, the first T is Thomas was a troubled Thomas. Yes, he hadn't been there. And he was troubled about that. He could see that the disciples had seen something, but oh, dear me, he didn't believe it. Perhaps you've come to church this morning and there's something on your heart. And there's something weighing you down. You're worried about something and you're troubled. Now Jesus wants to hear your troubles. Jesus wants to minister to your troubles. The second T is Thomas was truthful. So often we can go along in life and we can deceive ourselves. We can say, "Whoa, I don't really believe that, you know." But we need to get to that point where we either say, "We don't believe, Lord, I don't believe this is happening." And then God can do something about it. He can talk to you. He can minister to you. You know, Thomas didn't believe. He was honest. And yet so often we try and kid ourselves, don't we? We're not honest with ourselves. In our own lives we'll say, "Ooh." And yet sometimes our own feelings get in the way. And we're not honest with our feelings, are we? And we need to be honest and call out to God, "Lord, I do need your help. I'm struggling, Lord, today. I can't cope today, Lord." Maybe that's you. You've come to church this morning. You're troubled. Just be honest with yourself. Be truthful with yourself and ask God to minister to you. The third T is Thomas issued terms of belief. Wow, that's a bit naughty, isn't it? Saying to God, "I'll believe you if you do this, I'll believe you if you do that." Oh, dear me, isn't that a bit dangerous? Good Lord, don't we do that? Eh? I can remember when I came a Christian, and it was quite funny, really. And from here, actually, we went to hear Billy Graham at the Aston Villa. And they persuaded me to go along for some unknown reason. I didn't really want to go. So I went and sat up there on the football pitch, you know, as they are, and Billy Graham was preaching. And I thought, I felt God talking to me. So I issued terms of belief. Oh, dear me. I shouldn't have done it, really, should I? I said, "Okay, God, I want you to prove to me that you're real. I won't go down on the pitch. God, I don't want to make myself look a fool. If you make yourself real to me, I'll believe in you." I hadn't already done that, had I? Because you know, guess what he did, don't you? He made himself real to me. And I experienced the real God in my life. The fourth T. He turned. Wow. He turned from unbelief to belief. Wow. What a wonderful transformation that is. It's almost like Jesus says, "You must repent and believe." We have to turn our way from our old ways, turn 180 degrees and face God and believe in him. Unbelief to belief. I don't know where you are this morning. Perhaps you're thinking, "Don't believe that nonsense." Could I challenge you this morning to take faith and to believe. Believe in the wonderful and the living God. The God who died for you on a cross. The fifth and final T is that Thomas trusted. Wow. We often used to sing a song, don't we? "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." This morning, again, I want to challenge you. Do you trust Jesus in your life today? Do you read your Bible every day? Do you devour your Bible so you can gather as much information about Jesus as you can, that you can hear his voice, and then you can trust him to live day by day for Jesus? Yes. Thomas trusted. And the result was, Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." As I finish this morning, I want to ask you, where are you on those list of T's? Are you troubled this morning? Because maybe you don't believe it. You think it's a load of nonsense. Perhaps you need to be truthful with yourself. You need to be truthful and say, "Well, Lord, I don't believe, but I want you to make yourself true to me." Maybe you're going to issue terms of belief. "Okay, Lord. Come and speak to me. Come and do something, and then I'll believe you." But this morning, maybe you want to turn. Maybe you should turn from your unbelief. Maybe you should repent. Perhaps you should turn to Jesus and ask Jesus to guide you. Jesus to be your Lord. Jesus to be your Saviour. And perhaps today you need to trust him. You know, trust is a remarkable thing, isn't it? How often do we trust people in our lives? You get on the bus, don't you? Now I'm a pensioner. You wouldn't believe it. I know I don't look old enough, but I have a bus pass. And would you believe I actually go on the bus? But when I get on that bus, and they're normally Alexander Dennis, did you know that? And they've actually bought a new model out. And it's an electric bus, and they numbered 1101 to 1150. Oh, you all look really enthused by that. I can see you really wanted to know that information. But when you get on the bus and the bus driver drives off, you don't ask to see his driving license, do you? You don't ask to see his qualifications. And believe me now, if you're a bus driver, you have to do so many qualifications. They actually, at the museum, they sometimes let me loose on the D9, which is a double-decker. Oh, it's great driving that around the museums. Although I do like the Daimler CVG6 better. It's got a pre-selector gearbox and it's lovely. I can see you're really interested in the stuff, you know. Yeah, but you trust the bus driver, don't you? You don't expect him to crash. You're putting your life in his hands because he's going to do a good job and you trust him. Well, why not trust Jesus to be the head of your life and to drive you? He's a wonderful Saviour. He's a wonderful Lord. And he's a wonderful God. This morning, I don't know where you stand, but I'm going to finish with a prayer. And I'm going to ask you with every eye to be closed. And if this morning you're on that list of T's and you want to move on to the next T, or maybe this morning you just want to trust him, maybe you're troubled, I'm going to ask that you raise your hand while every eye is closed. And I want to pray for you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank and praise you for Thomas. Lord, yes, and we call him a doubting Thomas, but Lord, he was perhaps an honest Thomas. And Lord, he came to trust and believe in you. He followed you, Lord, and he was a loyal servant. He was a loyal disciple. And Lord, we want to be like Thomas. We want to trust and believe. Lord, I want to ask that you forgive us all the sins we've done, our wrong thoughts, our wrong motives, the wrong deeds, and that you'll come and touch each one of our lives. And this morning, I pray that whatever the needs of this congregation this morning, they might reach out to you. So just in this moment of silence,